that's what really counts, isn't it? If it's well with your soul. I said earlier that I was up and saw Brother Wheat in the hospital this morning, and he had to have surgery this week, and so, you know, things could be better with his body, but I'm glad that all is well with his soul. And, you know, our bodies, well, if you want to, as I heard Brother H.C. Vanderpool one time say, if you want to understand what's going on with our bodies, just read Ecclesiastes 12 and it'll tell you. You know, our bodies, we're going the way of all the world, and we get older, and we begin to get slower and weaker, and the outward man perishes, just like the Bible says. But thank God the inward man is renewed day by day. So I'm thankful today that I've been saved above everything else. I want to ask for your prayers today, and I want to call your attention to a scripture reading today from the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. And I ask for your patience this morning. My reading is a little bit lengthy, but I felt like the Lord would have me to read this. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 13 in its entirety, which is 22 verses. So Exodus chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hands, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. And I'd like to ask you to keep that verse in mind. I'm going to read verse 17 again. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. And that's reading Exodus chapter 13 in its entirety for a scripture reading today. The title of my message this morning will be Lead the Way. I want to speak about God's leadership and the way that He guides the lives of His people. We notice in this that they were just getting ready, the children of Israel were just getting ready to come out of Egypt on the Exodus. If you read the chapter just prior to this, the 12th chapter, you'll read the account of God having brought the last plague upon the Egyptians, which was the death of the firstborn. Tells us in that chapter about God's instructions to them concerning the Passover and how they were to kill the lamb and take the blood and strike it on the doorpost there, that when he when death passed through, that when he saw the blood, he would pass over them and spare them. And so we here in the 13th chapter of Exodus are reading about the day that they were ready to come out after years and years to come out of that bondage that they had been in there in Egypt. And the Lord, we notice in this that the Lord did not just tell them, it's time to go. The Bible tells us how that He led them out of that land. He led them, as we read in the last couple of verses here, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And certainly they had a journey ahead of them to make. God knew exactly how to bring them out, and He knew exactly where He wanted to take them to. And you know, if we we are getting ready to go somewhere, you know, whether you're walking or driving or whatever, it's commonly, I believe we commonly say when we're going to be following somebody somewhere, then we might say to that person, well, lead the way. I know I've used that phrase a lot of times when I'm going to be following somebody, when I don't know how to get to the destination, and somebody said, well, you can follow me. I'll say, well, lead the way. Well, you know, that's the way that we need to be as God's people. That's the way that we need to look at our lives. We need to just, you know, in looking at our lives here, we need to just say to the Lord, well, lead the way. And place our trust in God to lead us to the place where He would have us to be. Now, I want you to also notice, and I remembered, or I ask you to remember, rather, what we read here in the 17th verse, that when God brought them out, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Now, you know, oftentimes I'm afraid that we want to tell God what to do, that we want to tell God how to lead us, that we want to look at what we believe is most reasonable and say, well, Lord, you know, look, this way is closer. But God knows what He's doing. I mean, He knew exactly what He was doing. And even though there was a closer route, even though the land of the Philistines was near, God's reason was so that the people would not, you know, begin to change their minds about coming out when they saw war, that they would want to return to Egypt. Now, we know that on the Exodus, that there were times that they did that very thing when they came up on the Red Sea there and felt like they were trapped. They, you know, they begin to murmur against Moses and say, you know, what did you do? Did you just bring us out here to die? And you know, when we are allowing God to lead us, you know, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so when we are allowing God, if we give way to God and allow Him to direct our lives, then we've got to trust Him because there may be times when things won't seem reasonable to us, but we have to follow God by faith and trust God that He knows exactly what He's doing. The Bible tells us in the third proverb, that we are not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways we are to acknowledge the Lord, and when we do that, He will direct our paths. Now, I wonder if you today, if you believe this about your life here on the earth, do you believe that God knows exactly what your life is to be? That He knows exactly the way that He wants to lead you, that God knows exactly what it is that He wants to do with you, that He knows exactly how to direct our lives in the way that we will live the most purpose-filled life that we possibly can here on the earth. Listen, as long as we are following God, we're going to go in the right direction. I promise you today, by the authority of God's Word, that He will never lead us astray. If your life is all wrapped up in sin and worldly things, don't say that God led you there, because He didn't. If we look at the 23rd Psalm, David tells us when God leads us, He tells us the direction that He'll take us in. He will lead us in the path of righteousness, in the paths of righteousness, rather, for His namesake. God doesn't want His children out here wandering around, living their lives in a way that they embarrass Him, does He? Of course not. He will lead us in the path of righteousness for His namesake. And if we will follow that, if we will follow the Lord's lead and do what God would have us to do, then our time here will be well spent on the earth. Now, if you don't want to listen to God, then you can waste your time here. You can. But the Lord, He knows what needs to be done. Now, here's what I'm afraid that we do too often. Rather than seeking God's guidance concerning our lives, rather than going to God and saying, Lord, what is it that You would have me to do? What is Your will for me? What we want to do is we want to decide what we want our life to be, And then we expect God to bless our decision, don't we? This is what I want to do, and so, Lord, bless that. And I'll tell you what, I'm afraid that oftentimes we are guilty of that as a church as well. This is what we want to do. Now, God, you bless it, rather than asking God from the very beginning, Lord, what would you have us to do? And so we need to get off on the right foot from the very beginning. We need to get started out right. We need to get headed in the direction that God wants us to go. And then we follow him. Listen, when God came to the time when he was going to lead his people Israel out of Egypt, he already had the place that he wanted to take them. You won't find in the Bible where God gathers those millions of people together there to lead them out on the Exodus and stands before them and says, well, I'm here now to take you out. Where is it that you would like to go? What's your choice? You won't find that in the Scriptures. God had already chosen the land of Canaan to take them to. He had already chosen the promised land. He had already chosen their destination before he ever came to lead them out of bondage. And I'll tell you what I believe, and I'm going to share some scripture with you. I believe that God knew exactly what he wanted to do with you in life before you were ever born into the world. I want you to look at what the 15th chapter of Acts in verse 18 says. We have to remember this about God, that God has a lot greater vision than what we do. God can see the end, or he can see the beginning to the end and everything in between. God is able to look all the way through time and see everything. And that verse tells us that in Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. See, there's not anything that God doesn't know. There's not anything that he has ever done that he's forgotten about. There's not anything that he will yet do that he doesn't already know that he will do. God sees it all. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. He told Jeremiah this. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You see, God has what the Bible calls foreknowledge. God has great foreknowledge. And so he knows, from the very beginning what it is that he would do with us. In the first chapter of John, in verses 47 and 48, Philip had come to Nathanael, and he said, we have found him. When Philip met up with Jesus, he believed that he had found the Messiah, the one that had been prophesied to come all of those years. And so he went to Nathanael and he said, we have found him. And the Bible says Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? He's asking Jesus, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And if you go and you read the 139th Psalm, and we won't do that here, but you go and do that, you'll read virtually the same thing there in the 139th Psalm. David says in that Psalm basically that God knows everything about us. Did you know that if you're living an hour from now, there's going to be some thoughts that you're having? You know what David said in that 139th Psalm? God already knows what they are. If you're alive tomorrow, the words that you speak tomorrow, David said in that Psalm, God already knows what they are. He already knows what you'll be speaking even before that you've ever spoken. He knows everything about us. And he has a plan. Listen, the Bible says in the 4th chapter of Revelation in verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God created us. And listen, in fact, man is God, of the things that God created. God loves man the most. He gave man dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, gave them charge over those other things that he had created. And so you can rest assured that every one of us, we were created and we came into this world with purpose. With purpose. God has a purpose for you and I. God was there to lead them from the very beginning. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Think about this. Going back again to what was said in verse 17, when Pharaoh had let the people go, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Verse 18 says, God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Now we know what happened. All you Bible readers know what happened there. That's talked about in the 14th chapter of Exodus. He led them the way of the Red Sea. Well, they got to the Red Sea and they couldn't get past it. You know, God's plan was to lead them from Egypt to Canaan, and they come up to the Red Sea there and they're blocked and they can't go any further. But it was God that led them there. And you see what happened to the Israelites there. Rather than saying, we've got to trust God, because even though this obstacle is before us, it's God that led us in this direction, so he must have a purpose for leading us this way. Amen. Well, he did. You know, I'll tell you what, God took them right there to show them his power, to show them what he was able to do for them. Let me ask you this. If it were not for the obstacles in your life, if it were not for the valleys in your life, would you really know what God is able to do for you? I mean, would you really be able to see the deliverance of God? Would you be able to see his power to deliver? If it were not for the Red Seas in your life, they came up there, but the problem was, rather, as I said earlier, rather than placing their trust in God and just saying, well, the Lord must have a reason, I know he's going to deliver us, they began to murmur and they said, well, let's just go back. Let's go back to where we started. At least we had food to eat there. I'll tell you what, it must have been quite a sight when Moses said, "Fear not." Boy, I'll tell you what, sometimes, children, we just need to not fear. We just need to look at God and say, well, we don't have to fear. God's going to take care of it. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what? If they would have gone the way of the Philistines that was closer, they would not have seen God divide that sea, would they? They would not have beheld that great miracle. God wanted them to see it. I'm convinced he wanted them to see it. And so, God, the Bible tells us how that God caused that strong east wind to blow through the night, prepping it, getting things ready. And, he used Moses to stand there and stretch that rod out, and God divided the waters. Listen, Moses did not divide the sea. God did. God divided the sea. And they went through on dry ground. Now listen, I promise you that when Israel got to the other side of that sea, and Pharaoh and his army pursued them, and God closed up the waters and drowned them in the sea, I'm telling you, on the other side of the Red Sea, Israel had learned a great lesson about God. They had learned a great lesson about God's power to deliver them. So listen, when you know that you are following the Lord, when you know that God is guiding you, and you come up against an obstacle, don't despair, don't fear, just trust that God has a reason for it, and He's going to show you His power to deliver you. God is teaching us. I'm convinced that as God's children, as God being our Heavenly Father, that He is teaching us all the days of our life. God is continually teaching us about Him, and He's continually showing us what He can do. And one of these days, He's going to call me, and He's going to take me home, and He's going to show me everything He's got for me. He's going to do that for you too if you're saved. You know what the Bible says? This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. God will lead us in this life. In the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 14, the Apostle Paul plainly says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." God will lead His people. He will lead in the way that He knows to lead. If it's in, you know, He led Israel by the cloud in the day, by the fire at night. God knows what He's doing. He knows exactly what He's doing. Listen to the psalmist's plea recorded in the 61st Psalm in the first two verses. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed." You ever get that way? Does life ever overwhelm you? Does, life from time to time just seem like it's too big for you? I'm just overwhelmed with this. I don't know what direction to go. And the psalmist in that situation said, "Hear my cry, Lord. Hear my prayer. When I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I." Lead me to You, Lord. Lead me to that rock, which is certainly the Lord. You know what? When I was lost and in my sins, the Lord led me by His Spirit. He led me. You know what He did? He did exactly what Paul said He does in the second chapter of Romans in the fourth verse. By His goodness, He led me to repentance. God has to lead us there. We won't just go ourselves. He has to lead us there. God has to draw us and lead us to repentance. And because of His love and because of His goodness, He does that. I want you to know something. If you're lost and without the Lord, if you've not experienced salvation, if you don't have that new birth, when God comes knocking on your heart, I'll tell you what He's wanting to do. He's not wanting to harm you. He's wanting to bestow His goodness upon you and lead you to the place where you can repent of your sins and trust Him and be saved, and He'll become your guide for the rest of your days. He'll lead you throughout your life. I'll tell you what, throughout the years of the lives of God's people, you know what? I would be willing to say that many sitting here today, on an individual basis, that many of you sitting here today could look at times in your life and say, you know what? I would have just done a lot better if I would have just listened to the Lord. I would have just come out a lot better if I would have just sought the will of God. Things would have been easier. Things would have been better. I would have been more successful if I would have just turned to God in those times that I didn't know what to do, in those times that I was overwhelmed, if I would have just turned to God and said, Lord, lead me to that rock that's higher than I am. Lead me, Lord, in your ways. I've told you this before, and I'm not... I don't have any reservations at all about saying it. I believe to you young Christians, I believe you ought to pray about the direction God wants you to go in life. Don't just pick, don't just pick for yourself what you want to do. Don't just pick where you want to go to school. Don't just pick what you want to do with your life. Ask God what He wants you to do. Because if you do that and you follow that, you'll be headed in the right direction. God won't lead you astray. He won't ever lead you astray. I didn't tell you that He wouldn't lead you to obstacles at times that He's got to help you overcome, but I'm saying He will never lead you astray. He'll always lead you in the right direction. Now, when God is dealing with the heart of a sinner, and He's, by His goodness, leading that person to repentance, the devil will come and he'll begin to try to tell that person, listen, you don't need to do that. You don't need to listen to that. You don't need to go pray. You don't need to embarrass yourself. He'll tell you all sorts of lies, but I'm telling you, God is leading you to a good place. To a good place. You know, He wasn't, when God was leading Israel out of Egypt, He wasn't leading them to a land again where they were going to be enslaved and where they were going to be in bondage. He was leading them to a land, the Bible said, flowing with milk and honey. He was leading them, the Bible says, to a good land, to a good place. And He will do that for us. He will lead us to good places if we will follow His leadership. I appreciate your attention today, and I want to encourage everybody, both saved and lost, let God lead you. Let Him lead you where He wants to lead you, because He has good things in store for those that will follow His leadership and allow Him to be their guide. Let's stand and sing.